and I was really hooked from the very beginning. I love being able to go places where I wouldn't otherwise.
I just couldn't stop asking questions, and I think that probably we all have stories like that.
JFK Jr. saluting his father's casket. That is my grandfather's photo. So I grew up in a family where journalists were valued and journalism was considered, you know, fun and noble. And when you're raised that way, it's very easy just to go into that profession.
Now, from WGN Radio News, a look back at the day that was and a deeper look into issues and stories with Andrea Dallas and the reporters on 720 WGN.
WGN. Thank you, Chris Duffy. Thank you, Don Kleppen. We have a great show planned for you, as always. I'm so excited because we have two phenomenal City Hall reporters with us, A.D. Quigg and David Stewart. David, full disclosure, I worked with for, we just figured out it was 13 years when you were
13
here.
13 years, something like that.
But you were at WGN for how long?
Almost 28 years.
28 years, but a 40-year veteran of the business.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You did what AD and I are only dreaming of and looking forward to it someday. Retired last year.
Be careful what you wish for.
I know, right?
Have a plan.
Welcome. It's so nice to see you.
It's good to see you. It's good to see this lovely place. I've never been.
Isn't it great?
It's wonderful.
We love our new studios. AD Quigg, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You are quickly making a name for yourself as a City Hall reporter, political reporter, a vested Chicago reporter. Where did you tell us where you came from? And
South Bend, Indiana, proudly.
See, close.
I'm one of those, like, the Big Ten grads that everyone talks about flooding Chicago right after college. I'm one of those.
Very good. And you're with the Black Club Chicago and
the
Daily Line.
Yeah. Club is a great partner. We love them so much. We're their City Hall Bureau.
Tell us a little bit about the Daily Line.
So the Daily Line, most people might remember as Alder Track back in the days. It was kind of a hobby horse of a few guys dating back to the elections in 2007. They would kind of pop up during elections and do analysis on all the aldermanic races. And in 2015, they hired a few reporters and did some polling, turned it into a morning political newsletter, like a must-read for everyone addicted to these city council races. And after that 2015 election, we decided to cover City Hall full-time. It's been 4 years, and it's been so fun.
And that's what you do. And if I know a lot of people listening have not been to the press room at City Hall, but you can describe it as this tiny little room. It looks like it still has, the original flooring, the original tile, probably the original ceiling tiles as well. I don't know if that's a good thing.
They did change a light a couple weeks ago. That was a big deal.
No.
There was a time back, I think, in the 90s when they painted the walls. I remember because everybody had to take all the stuff down off the walls and move out.
And Dave, your desk, it was always a shrine because you had all the City Hall buttons,
junk pile.
A junk pile. Yeah, and AD said to me, "Oh, finally get to see Dave Stewart because his desk is still somewhat intact."
We honor. There's a little sticky note underneath some newspapers that says, "Don't move the papers," and we haven't moved the papers.
You're right, because the old the stacks of newspapers.
Yeah.
I saw that as well when I went to go a couple weeks ago cover something for TV and saw I walked past. I thought, this hasn't changed at all.
That's funny. Right? They're probably old and yellow and fall apart in your hands by now.
Right?
They're in pretty good shape because really no one has touched them. They've just been sitting there. And I'll open them every once in a while just to see what was going on back then.
I'm going to ask you guys, how would you describe the press room? If you were describing this to someone who has obviously never seen it, how would you describe the press room?
Best room in the world?
Yeah.
It's
tall ceilings.
It's part museum. Oh, to describe it physically is a big room where the print press hangs out. Then there's a little tiny room where radio guys hang out.
Yeah. And me.
Right.
And you.
Your desk. Now you are.
I sit in the radio room because I love the two guys that are still there, our deans,
Craig
Delamore and Bill Cameron.
Yeah.
So we kind of zigzag in the room, and the other room is the print folks, which is Fran Spielman from the Sun-Times, John Byrne from the Tribune, Greg Pratt from the Tribune, my boss, Heather Sharone. That's it.
That's it. That is it.
I mean, you guys are beautiful windows.
It's dingy. It's probably dusty.
You could probably smoke in there back in the day.
Well, not in my time, but yeah, you could. And do other things. There were rumors before my time of drinking and post-drinking.
Michael, was it Ann Kavanaugh who said that her grand, or was it Marianne? We had Ann Kavanaugh and Marianne Ahern a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Ann Kavanaugh's grandfather was a City Hall reporter. many with for the first Richard Daley, and they found a way to listen to the meetings when they went into closed door sessions.
Yep.
This is back then because it was near the elevator shaft, and they somehow finagled their way up toward an air vent. Mm-hmm. And she told the story on the air, so I'm not saying anything out of turn. But yeah,
it was Roman Puchinsky, actually, who was later a congressman. He was an alderman and a congressman, but before that, he was a reporter, and he used to listen through the transom or the ceiling to closed door meetings.
Wow. A lot has changed since then.
Oh, yes.
Or has it? You know, and I have to say, AD, David was the first one, the first city hall meeting I ever covered. I started here in 97 and became full-time in 98. Dave was a vested veteran city hall reporter at that point, so I would tag along and go and cover city council meetings. And do you remember when we went into the room where the mayor speaks, you used to have to take a coin mm-hmm. and flip open the like a piece
right.
of the floor?
Yes.
Right? To plug your tape recorder in.
Oh, where the milk box was, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Is that still like that?
I don't know.
There's
I'll have
two
to ask AD.
If you're talking about 201A, there's
no,
two
no, no.
molds.
I'm talking about the fifth floor press.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Rom never does anything
he never
up
uses
there?
That oh, room.
He doesn't even use that
he
room.
He uses it to take pictures with or maybe do one-on-ones. But
where he announced yeah. he was not running again in there. And I think they did a couple consent decree press conferences in there. But most of the time, it's 201A, which is right next door to the press room.
Which is downstairs now.
And then the floor of that room. There's are these little pop-up things where you can plug in your microphone. And,
yeah. You used to have to take some sort of a coin, which I don't even, I mean, who carries coins really now?
So Bob Crawford carried a coin.
Oh,
carried a dime.
Good old Bob Crawford. Yeah, you always have to carry a coin so you could pop that open and plug your tape recorder into there. We're going to talk a little bit about how things have changed, how they are now, but since I have two of the best city hall reporters or the best political reporters, I think, in Chicago, and David, I'm still saying current because I know you got your finger on the pulse of everything going on right now.
You know what? I did retire, but you don't. I mean, it's like a fire horse. I still pay attention to everything. I still just in case, you know, in case the bell rings, I want to be ready. So I'm following everything pretty closely.
Let me first ask you guys: were you surprised, number one, that Rahm Emanuel was not going to seek reelection? Did you have any doubt? Did you think, oh, this might not happen? Because I was floored.
I was surprised. I was surprised. In retrospect, it makes some sense, but I was surprised that he didn't go through to finish the horrible job that's still to be done in terms of city finances.
You too?
I was also surprised, but I had also read what Franz Spielman wrote, which was he might not.
Yeah.
And I thought he would run again just because he's a fighter, and I could see him wanting to prove to people that I could win another one. But at the same token, you could see his unfavorables were very high, and there was so much work left to do.
Right.
And I don't know how America could go in without a popular mandate to do all that really tough stuff. So I think he saw the writing on the wall.
Which means he may have been able to pull out a victory, but what would he have been left with in terms of a city to govern? It would have been almost impossible for him to do the things that still have to be done.
Yeah.
Now flash forward to last week before. Were you surprised at that outcome?
I was. People were asking me, and I was saying it was going to be Tony and Bill Daley.
Okay.
So I was surprised 50% of the way.
How about you, AD?
I was pretty surprised, although Lori Lightfoot was having a very good couple weeks. The polling was kind of all over the place. The polling we were getting was coming directly from campaigns, so really couldn't be trusted.
Mm-hmm.
But Lori had hit all of the free media that she needed to hit right before the election at just the right time to get where she was. And Tony had not addressed a lot of the scandals that had been hitting her for the weeks before. Bill Daley, I think his big mistake, we've been talking about this in the press room a lot, was saying that he would cut pension benefits for city employees, which lost him in really big turnout wards like the 41st and the 19th. So I think we could look back and see that was obviously going to happen and that Jerry Joyce might suck up all those votes, but Bill Daley just had so much money and had done so much TV that it was surprising that he didn't make it in the final two.
They did they were showing the images of the maps and how it was very much along mm-hmm. racial lines and party lines, or you know, that the fallout, as you mentioned, 41 and 44 on the far northwest side, Edison Park, Jefferson Park, those areas. But were you surprised that Willie Wilson? I almost think that whoever Willie Wilson endorses, that might be.
It's coming on Friday. He's going to endorse on Friday.
That might be key.
Both of them made their first call, I think, to Willie Wilson.
Isn't that interesting? So, any thoughts on that?
I hope he just stays out of it, frankly,
mm-hmm.
because the city needs to have a The problem is, though, if you looked at today's story about the racial breakdown of who had more votes, Lori Lightfoot did much better among African-American voters than Tony did. Now, if you add to that an endorsement by Wilson, that really gives her quite the edge. And you also saw today the unions, some of the unions decided the CFL is staying out of the race.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And well, Tony has the teachers.
Yes.
SEIU. UFCW.
Mm-hmm.
And Teamsters Local 700, which are all big, which means she has a lot of foot soldiers who are able to go out and knock doors and canvas and talk to people. But I thought it was really interesting that the CFL, which is the umbrella organization of about 300 labor unions, decided to sit it out. They had a leadership meeting, I think, this week, and they were just split.
And the whole thing about this election is that it's so compressed.
Mm-hmm.
It's happening so fast. So I almost wonder if money's going to play a bigger role than it normally would. I mean, you don't have if you don't have an organization now, it's hard to build one and mobilize it and energize it in that short a period of time. And if Tony uses more money than Lori does to, and I talk about him in the first person, like I know that.
Right.
But that might be an advantage for Tony in the long run.
Yes, I think it depends a lot on how she uses it. There were mm-hmm. a lot of folks who saw this. She came out right after this Tuesday election, I think on Friday, with a negative ad immediately against Lori Lightfoot.
Right, the big
lawyer. Yeah, I was actually surprised. Well, I guess you only have 4 or 5 weeks at that point to do it, or 4.5 at that point, but I was surprised immediately she came out with the negative ad, and then Lightfoot countered over the weekend with a positive ad.
The same day they both came out with ads.
Yeah.
Tony could have used that as an opportunity to reintroduce herself in a positive way.
Right.
She could have gone against Lori in a negative way, and she chose negative. We'll see if it works.
Were you guys surprised that millennials did really not show up to vote in this election?
After all the excitement generated by, you know, Chance the Rapper,
yes,
and all that, I was quite surprised.
Yeah. Were you too?
As a millennial, I can say no.
No kidding.
I think the reason that a lot of millennials turned out in the midterms, they turned out in very big numbers, mm-hmm. Was they were excited to vote against Trump. And a lot of the friends that I spoke to were kind of confounded by the number of candidates and couldn't see big differences between them
mm-hmm.
and just kind of decided to sit it out.
Do you think they'll show up for this one?
I have no idea.
This will be a big one. It's going to make history, of course.
Is it worth someone's time now in the 5 weeks we have to try to get them excited?
Yeah.
That's the question.
That's a great point.
And since you're a representative of your entire generation.
Yeah, I do speak for all millennials in the city of
you
Chicago.
You are going to speak for the millennials. That voice is A.D. Quigg, and the other voice you're listening to is David Stewart. They're our guest tonight on Andrea and the Reporters. We will have much, much more about them and their careers and their backstories coming up next on 720 WGN.
Let's get back to Andrea Dallas and the Reporters on 720 WGN.
Thanks for tuning in. Our panel tonight, A.D. Quigg and David Stewart, City Hall and political reporters, and David, newly retired, but still has an interest in the game. A.D. making a name for herself at City Hall, and we already talked about your desk, and we're going to get into both of your backgrounds. I have to take a break again in a couple of minutes here, so or in about a minute and a half. So I wanted to ask both of you, A.D., we'll start with you, and we'll continue after the newscast as well. I know you're from South Bend, but tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, your first job, and what made you want to become a reporter.
Oh, gosh. First job was working reception at a nursing home.
Okay.
Which was terrifying, because that's still when you had to use, like, a long-distance card with 16,000 digits on it to connect outside. So I would have confounded old ladies calling me saying, I need to call my son in Denver. And then I would have to punch, like, 60,000 numbers.
Right.
Very flustering job, but it was a good people person job. My first journalism job was doing newscast at WSBT in South Bend, which was way fun. And I was later an intern at Talk of the Nation, then I became a producer there, and then it got canceled.
Ah.
It was such a great show. Call-in shows are so fun to work on.
Yeah.
And then I produced a politics podcast with Ken Rudin, who was NPR's political editor. I produced that from my childhood bedroom in South Bend.
Seriously?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh, wow.
It was terrible.
I'm sure it was not terrible.
I mean, moving back home after being in D.C. and having such a great time, and then you're back in your childhood room editing and booking. And
trust me, I know. Right.
Yeah.
Right. First job, $15,000 out of school. You're living at home for a few years.
Right. I should say I'm a graduate of Indiana University, Bloomington.
There you go.
There was a terrible graphic out on Twitter today saying that West Lafayette was the best college town in Indiana. I vehemently object. So I came to Chicago because I was tired of producing from my bedroom. I got a job at Rivet Radio with Charlie Myerson and a lot of great radio people, including Don Kleppen.
Yeah.
Don was there at Rivet.
Hey, Don. Yes.
And then started Alder Track at the same time.
You make it sound so easy. I started Alder Track. Tell us about
Alder Track. Oh, I didn't start Alder Track. No, that was three great guys who loved politics and poached me because I said, hey, cool newsletter. And they said, hi, do you want to help us produce some video interviews? And I was like, absolutely. So we went around trying to talk to all 150 aldermanic candidates in 2015, which was fun. Learned a ton.
Hey, baptism by fire. Complete learning experience.
Oh,
right?
And everyone is a character and everyone's got different crazy ideas. And the ones that show up 2 hours late, you learn a lot about early on. And then started covering city council, which was another trial by fire.
I come in
there with a ton of legends and you're terrified and also dumb. So you make a lot of mistakes that you don't know are mistakes. I think the first city council meeting we covered, all three of us tried to sit in the box in council chambers, which is coveted space and huge faux pas.
And mapped out.
Hey, don't feel bad. Before I came here, I was working at a radio station in Joliet, and David, you spent some time in Joliet too, which we'll talk about, but I was at a station, WJOL, and we would go, I covered Romeoville and Lockport and basically all the cities in Will County, and Joliet being the main one, and the mayor was Art Schultz at the time, and we would just go in and sit down and have a conversation, set up the tape recorder and do an interview. So when I first came here, I walked up and they said, you have to go to City Hall and there was a press conference. So I walked into the mayor's office and I said, oh, can I see the mayor? And they said, I'm sorry, who are you? I said, oh, I'm Andrea Darlis with WGN. And they said, yeah, you can go to the press room or you can go to the press conference room. You know, the mayor just doesn't do one-on-one sit-down interviews like you're used to, sweetheart. So that was my first experience.
But they knew you after that.
They did, right. They said, yeah, don't ever let her in here again. We're talking to A.D. Quigg and David Stewart. And speaking of legends and learning from the best, we're going to hear David's backstory as well. But first, quick break. We'll get to the news and that voice, Don Kleppen, that you mentioned after this on 720 WGN.
What happened? What's happening? What's yet to come? It's Andrea Darlis and the reporters on 720 WGN.
Our panelists tonight, David Stewart and A.D. Quigg, both City Hall reporters, political reporters. We heard a little bit about A.D.'s backstory, writing copy and producing in her childhood home in the bedroom of where she grew up. And these stories are so much fun and so humbling, and people love hearing, you know, where we started, our humble roots, if you will. And David, tell us a little bit about how you got started in this.
Well,
did you always know you wanted to be a reporter?
I wanted to be on TV is what I wanted to do. Well, actually, first of all, before that, I wanted to be Rob Petrie, but that never quite worked out. So I wanted to be on TV in some manner or fashion. But I always was interested in the news. So my wife and I were the co-editors of our high school newspaper back in Pittsburgh. Absolutely. And at the same time, I used to occasionally write a column for our local neighborhood newspaper. So I was always kind of in news. And then I did some radio in college, a little bit of that. I went to graduate school in broadcast journalism. And then came out to the Midwest to look for work. And along about 1977, got a job in Joliet.
Ah, yes.
In Joliet for
days.
A couple of years.
Yes.
For a station that no longer exists under these call letters. WJRC is what it was. And Ralph Sherman, Sr., he hired me then.
He was my boss at one point, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
After a couple of years there, I came up here and was at WIND, the old WIND, for a while. And then GN.
And after GN, you went
after
out to LS.
After GN, I worked for the iHeart News Service, which provides news and traffic services to stations all across the Midwest, all around the country. So I was doing news for a couple of other stations here in town and a couple of other stations around the country and writing copy and doing a bunch of other things. So
did you both always have an interest in politics?
Kinda, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was in graduate school during Watergate, so I'm one of that generation of people that was impressed with what power was latent in journalism. And now everybody thought they were going to be Woodward and Bernstein. That didn't quite work out, but everybody saw that reporters could have an impact in a big way on the way things happen. And if you scaled that back, we all thought we were going to be Woodwards and Bernsteins at the local level.
Mm-hmm. How about you, AD? Did you always like politics?
I liked politics. I didn't know that I wanted to be in reporting. I had a big, there's not really a good word for it, admiration crush on Tim Russert. I would watch Meet the Press on Sundays with my parents. And when he passed away, I remember crying a lot. I always liked how he was knowledgeable and affable and so well prepared, mm-hmm. which was also because he had great producers on the show, but I liked that he seemed to have a grasp of everything going on in politics. I really admired that he seemed to know everything.
Well, it's no secret that this is such a great town for covering politics and city business and city hall. Do you guys find that too? I mean, is it almost just a passion? You know, anytime you don't want to thrive when something bad happens to someone, but when there is an indictment or when there is, you know, offices of a high-powered alderman being raided, there is a little bit of a rush to cover that story.
There's no better political city to do news than Chicago. I'd say maybe Albany and D.C., obviously, but Chicago is unparalleled for good politics stories.
It's politics stories, and people here, I think, more so than other cities around the country, seem to be invested in it. I don't know if that's because of the aldermanic system or everybody, you know, remembers Richard J. Daley, but everybody seems to know the players and know at least their own take on things, and they know the names. And so if you say an alderman's name or a commissioner's name or a county board member's name, they know who it is and they follow it. So yeah, it's a spectator sport.
Is it hard getting to know the players and getting them to trust you as reporters?
That's two different things.
Yeah, both. Let's do both.
Well, you know the names, first of all, and they're human beings, so if you treat them fairly, they come to trust you. It's just like that. It's like any other reporting job that you do. People say, well, how do you know you trust your sources? Well, you treat them fairly, and it becomes a mutual situation, mm-hmm. and they know that they're going to get a fair shake on in your column or in your newspaper or on your radio station or on your TV station, and so they trust you.
Same.
Yeah. I mean,
no, you have to say more than that.
I had a boss who told me when I was like very intimidated to start here because it's a big beat. It's a big deal. There are a lot of players who have been around for a very long time, and I was so nervous that there was some factoid that I wouldn't remember about them. And I would ask them some very dumb question that they would be like, I'm never talking to her again because she's an idiot. And this boss was like, every politician wakes up in the morning and puts on pants. Just think about that.
Right.
Everyone is a human being, and they've probably done stupid stuff. Approach it that way.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to start.
As a young reporter, I would watch the Dave Stewarts and the Craig Delamores and the Frannies, Fran Spielman, covering this beat. And they would especially Fran would ask certain things, and I would think, oh, my gosh, how are you able to ask that?
She still does.
I know, and she commands such respect, you know, and I think that's so wonderful to establish that rapport.
Well, I did not cover the City Hall directly when Ron was there, but he got to know the people who were in the press corps, the everyday press corps, and I think that's what helps build up trust among the people. They see you in the building, and only a few organizations nowadays can afford to have somebody there all the time. Mm-hmm. TV cannot. Right. Only two radio stations have somebody there all day, every day.
Right.
And only a few, and the newspapers do, but for those people, you get to know them, and you get to know the stories in depth, and you know, you went to the committee meeting, and so you know all the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know who's on which side of what issue. So by the time the big decisions are made, you pretty much know what they're going to be, and you people you're asking questions of know that you know.
Yeah.
So they're less likely to give you
We had two big advantages coming in and being new media's like everyone assumes you're going to be gone in like a year and a half because startups start up and fail all the time.
Sure.
We had two advantages coming in, which was we had covered folks' elections, so when they won, we kind of just like snuck in behind them and were learning alongside them, and we could ask them dumb questions that they wouldn't think were dumb. And the other thing was we covered every single committee meeting from start to finish, so we just became familiar faces around there that people were like, you were at housing, what happened?
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
What's your, what would be your biggest surprise? I guess what politician or which alderman or which person you have covered has been the biggest surprise? And by that I mean, would come down maybe to the press room and have a conversation with you guys, or maybe not, or who was the most difficult to cover?
The funnest one, and it was, Alderman Deb Mell, her dad, Dick.
Yes.
He was hilarious. He would come down for no other reason than just to tell us a joke or just to hang out with us and try to make us laugh, or on the other hand, talk about what he just pulled over on this mayor or that mayor and what he got out of the negotiation.
Of course, yeah. Air quote negotiations.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, and while those were not necessarily on the record, they weren't necessarily off the record either.
Who would be the most social media savvy I mean, who is really in touch with either Twitter, Facebook, I guess, or any on Instagram?
There's a few.
Okay.
I'm not on Instagram anymore. Okay. I get you get FOMO on Instagram, so I gave up Instagram.
What is that?
Fear of missing out.
Oh my gosh, I have that. I do. Yeah. That could be a whole separate, you know.
Quit Instagram. I haven't had it for like a year and a half. It's been great.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
Just kind of everything lifted off you. Who is the most social media savvy on Twitter? Because you're on Twitter a lot.
I'm on Twitter a lot. Former Cook County Commissioner John Fritchie was very good at Twitter. Mm-hmm. He lost his reelection bid in 2018. So we lost some of that like play-by-play, but he's still doing commentary. Alderman Carlos Ramirez Rosa of the 35th Ward, fellow millennial, very good at Twitter. Very good at like engaging Democratic Socialists of America Twitter, so DSA Twitter, which is very active. He's great at like going back and forth with them. And Alderman Raymond Lopez. You can almost just look at his Twitter feed to get statements on stuff that went through that day. And he'll tell you exactly where he stands on stuff.
I bet. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. I wouldn't expect that, but very cool. We're talking to A.D. Quigg and David Stewart. When we come back from this break, I'm going to ask you guys, I know it's like choosing a child, is how I always say they're choosing your favorite parent or your favorite sibling, but I'm going to ask you, what would be your favorite story or one of the best stories you've ever covered or most impacted you? I know it's kind of a wide range, but we'll let you guys think about that, and we'll take a quick break here on 720 WGN.
Back to Andrea Dailish and the reporters on WGN Radio.
748, 720 WGN. Lori Lightfoot will join us. She wants to be the next mayor of the city of Chicago. She'll be with us after 8 o'clock. Now, though, thanks for being with us on Andrea and the reporters. A.D. Quigg from the Daily Line and David Stewart from WGN, WLS, iHeart.
The WGN recent, Alumni Club.
Yeah, the Alumni Club, exactly.
Do you get a special mug?
I do.
Did you get like a watch or something?
I did. Yeah.
Did you?
I did. We used to do gold watches for 25 years.
Sorry. Oh, I'm almost there. If I stay 4 more years, I'll get it. But well, this is not about me. This is about you guys. I wanted to ask you. This is my favorite part of the program, where I get to ask you a story that you've covered that has been either most impactful or most memorable. I always want to say the best story you ever covered, but I know that's so vast, and you guys cover so many different stories on a daily basis. So what story, let's start with you, David, the story that either impacted you the most or just really stands out as being one of your favorites that you covered?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to be around for a number of things, starting way back in 1979 when the Pope came to Chicago. I came up from Joliet to cover that. So that was pretty impressive. It was my first introduction to Chicago media as a quote-unquote part of it. So that was kind of interesting. I was there for, like I said, most of Mayor Richard M. Daley's term in office. So as a whole enterprise, that was a continuing source of fascination. Both Blagojevich convictions. I was in the courthouse for both of those.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, and if I'm being honest, and that's sort of what the job requires, The story that had the biggest impact on me personally was one that tested the line that we sometimes have to draw between your personal involvement in a story and your objectivity as a reporter. And that was the day that Bob Collins died.
Yeah.
That was, mm-hmm. For people who listened to the station back then or listened to Bob at all, or it was very difficult to do the job that we had to do and get the information on the air that we... At the same time, this was a member of our family,
mm-hmm.
and this was not to mention the superstar of the station.
Right.
And for those of us who were in the newsroom that day, and I was on the Spike was on the air, Spike Odell, and I was the news guy at that time. So as we were breaking that story, it was with lumps in our throat that you could not imagine. So I'm going to say that day was the most difficult on the air.
Yeah, and you phrase it so well too. It is so hard to cover a story that you're that close to,
mm-hmm.
and that you're attached to. So makes it difficult.
All the people at City Hall, I can say, okay, that's I'm over here, that's over there. Right. But this one was across that line.
Right. You go home at the end of the day.
Right.
They go
right.
home at the end of the day. This one you went home, but it was with a dear friend.
Yeah.
Not
exactly.
With you in your heart anymore. So yeah, that was very impactful. A.D., how about you?
I would say the fallout of the police shooting of Laquan McDonald. We got to cover it from kind of every angle. I got to walk in protests with folks. I got to cover all of the new oversight bodies that City Council was working on. I got to cover Rahm's big speech when he acknowledged that there was a code of silence on the Chicago Police Department within the force. And it's continuing. I mean, we just got a consent decree independent monitor this past week.
Mm-hmm.
I think city council is going to move pretty soon on establishing a civilian oversight board. And it's playing out in this mayor's race. Lori Lightfoot was the head of the Police Accountability Task Force. Tony Preckwinkle has talked a lot about her history of criminal justice. And I don't think this story will end for a long time.
What's a story that you still want to follow through on, follow up on, something that you are just really, and it can be the mayor's race, but something, a story that you, or a topic that you really want to touch on at some point and get in depth about?
What happens to Ed Burke?
Very good.
Number one.
Very good, yeah.
This is like a weird rite of passage, I feel like, for a lot of Chicago political reporters, but this is like the first, well, I guess Alderman Willie Cochran is also going to trial this summer, but this is like one of the first big deal federal charges of corruption against Chicago's most powerful alderman. It's an unprecedented story to cover. I'm excited to see the next steps and the ripple effects of what happens with the wiretap on Alderman Danny Solis and what other aldermen and state officials that might touch.
All right. So, David, now I'm going to ask you, if you're going to hop back in, say mid-2019, you can hop back into the game for 6 months. What's something that you want to follow up on and just pour your whole heart into?
From a government nerd standpoint, how they fix the pension mess is just going to be interesting from that. It's not so very sexy, but to me, it's an entrenched problem that's built into the system, and how they solve that is just going to be amazing. But what I'm fascinated by most on a human nature standpoint is there's going to be a new city council. And the dynamics between that new city council and whichever new mayor we get is going to be rewriting the rules. I mean, does Pat O'Connor stay as chairman of the finance committee?
Does he even win? Right.
Things like that. So the whole things could be, it's a whole new chapter. And that's what I think would be fascinating.
You both think we're going to see a whole new Chicago, don't you?
We have how many runoffs?
Four. Well, there's a lot on the brink, right? So there's six races that are, hovering at 49% or 51%,
right.
And we're waiting on a few provisional ballots to come in, so some could be safe,
right.
Some could be forced into a runoff. No matter what, just based on retirements alone, city council is losing more than 100 years of experience. If Ed Burke is indicted, convicted, kicked out of city council, that's another 50 years. If Pat O'Connor loses, that's another 30+, and we're seeing a lot of young progressives who say I refuse to be a rubber stamp to whoever this next mayor is, and here's a bunch of ethics reforms that we need to do because of what has happened with Ed Burke. So I think the new operation is going to be totally different. I'll be fascinated to see who drives those changes. If aldermen can get it together and form caucuses and actually get legislation done instead of the mayor doing it herself.
I know.
Herself.
Isn't that,
I got to get used to that.
That's going to be, yeah. And it was funny because I was listening to people just quickly correct themselves too on election night. First female mayor. Wait.
Somewhere Kathy Byrne and Jane Byrne are going, wait a minute.
Oh, those notes went out here and at other stations. I can absolutely confirm that, hey, this is not the first female mayor of Chicago, nor is this the first African American mayor of Chicago.
No.
So click.
It will be the third African American mayor, because don't forget Gene Sawyer was the mayor.
That's right.
In between.
That's right. And you covered that. You covered Washington and Sawyer.
I did.
Yeah.
We could have the first openly gay mayor.
That's right.
Chicago
too. I know. Lots of changes going on. If you had it all to do over again and you couldn't be a reporter, what would you want to be doing?
Wow.
I said I'd make the last question easy, and I didn't.
You didn't?
No.
I don't know how to do anything else.
Okay, I always wanted to either be a reporter or writer or journalist, and when I was in high school, at one point, I thought, maybe I'll go to med school and be a radiologist, to read the x-rays, because I want to have to do surgery and blood and guts and whatnot. And my dad always would joke and say, well, at least you got the radio part right.
I figured it out.
There you go.
Librarian.
Really?
Absolutely.
Oh, that's very cool.
Librarian.
Dave, what would you have done if you couldn't have been a reporter?
I wouldn't have been a librarian.
Or a museum curator.
Wow.
That's cool.
What kind of museum?
Art?
History.
Ah.
Oh, okay.
Very cool. What would you have done?
I probably would have been a high school English teacher, a college English teacher.
Yeah. Very cool.
Probably.
Well, I look forward to hearing your retirement stories and much more out of you, young A.D. Quigg. Thank you so much, David Stewart, A.D. Quigg. Thank you for being here. Where can people follow you, social media, read your stories?
I'm at AD_Quigg, and our website is thedailyline.net.
Very good. And David, you're on Facebook, Twitter?
I am on Twitter at Dave Stewart 1969.
Okay. You're also on Facebook, too.
I am on
Did
Facebook.
You know that?
Yeah, I knew that.
Thank you both. And you can catch this podcast at WGNradio.com. Thank you both so much. And Lori Lightfoot is going to join us after the 8 o'clock news. First this, though, on 720 WGN.